Heavenly Father, we just sung in the words of this hymn, refresh my soul in death. And that would indeed be our prayer, that actually your name would indeed refresh us. And the name of the Lord Jesus would be so encouraging because we've put our trust in him. We ask this morning that as I speak, that we'd be able to hear and understand, and that we would see what treasure we have in Jesus and give everything to follow him. And we ask it for your name's sake. Amen. Is it worth following Jesus? Christians and those on the outside of the Christian faith ask this question sometimes. Is it worth following Jesus when you have young children and you are tired, to put it mildly? Is it worth following Jesus if you face a persistent illness, maybe persistent pain, without any relief in sight? Is following Jesus worth it when we have to expend our energy caring for others, sometimes caring for parents who are elderly, and it's so exhausting? Is it worth following Jesus if there's no let up in the financial struggles that we might face, or maybe the pain of bereavement lingers and hurts, or when the important relationship is not mended? Is following Jesus worth it? Well, Jesus' aim in Matthew 13 is to reassure his disciples that they have done the right thing to follow him, and that being in his kingdom, putting our trust in Jesus, is more valuable than any hardship they might experience. So if you're visiting today, we're looking at the last three parables in Matthew chapter 13. We're in Matthew's Gospel. We're on page 980. It would be really helpful if you had it open as we look at it together. Matthew makes three points, and the first is this. Those who follow Jesus have solid joys and lasting treasure. Those who follow Jesus have solid joys and lasting treasure. We might want to say we who follow Jesus. Look at verse 44, please. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Jesus is telling a parable how a laborer finds treasure hidden in a field. And the thing about this treasure, page 980 should be, is that this treasure is hidden. The treasure, in other words, is not obvious to anyone but him. He stumbles over it. Now, he doesn't dig it up, but with great joy, what he does is he sells all that he has and he buys the field, and the treasure becomes his. Now, think about his response. He didn't go along, say, oh, there's treasure. Oh, that's nice. And then turn his back on it. No, the labourer's response to discovering treasure is there in verse 44. In his joy, he went and sold all that he had and went and bought that field. In other words, what he said is that this treasure is so valuable, I'll do anything to get it. And he did it. Now, it's not obvious to many in our society that Jesus is the Messiah, but this treasure is hidden from them. It's not obvious that the greatest thing you can do is put your trust in him. It's not obvious that what Jesus promises, just look at verse 43, the verse before our reading, that the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. It's not obvious that what Jesus promises is going to come about, but because Jesus is the Son of Man, we can be sure that it will. And this treasure, which is all about Jesus, is hidden from many of those who have political authority over us. This treasure about Jesus is also hidden from many who are in the media and convey news and information to us. This treasure about Jesus is hidden from many who have educated us, either at school or university. But when we recognize that Jesus is the Messiah, that he died on the cross for you and for me, that he's risen and rules over God's kingdom, that we know what a marvelous thing it is to follow him. And it's marvelous to follow him now, even though God's kingdom is still to come in its perfection. There's so many imperfections around today. Now, we'll know that there's treasure in Jesus if we've begun to realize that we're sinful. We'll know that there's treasure in Jesus if we've begun to see how far we are from God naturally. If we've even begun to see that we do what he hates, and how much actually we deserve his condemnation. See, we'll see what treasure we have in Jesus if we put our trust in his death on the cross. For to know Jesus is to have our sins forgiven. And all our guilt is paid for. It's wiped away. And now God is no longer angry with us. He's our Father, and he loves us as much as he loves Jesus. And when we put our trust in him, we're given eternal life, a wonderful future in the new heavens and the new world that Jesus will bring and create when he comes back. Yes, Jesus is a real treasure and worth giving up everything for. Did you notice how the laborer, in his joy, went and sold all that he had and went away and bought that field? He thought it was worth giving everything up for him. And of course those words in verse 44, in his joy, is the reason why real Christians are so miserable when they backslide and turn their backs on God. Because there's joy in relationship with Jesus. There is joy when we put our trust in Jesus, because we know that we do that, God is with us and on our side. And Jesus is the one who will bring us into the kingdom of heaven. And belonging to that Jesus is much more important than anything else. And look down at verse 45, please, where Jesus tells a second parable. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. And when he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. Now we have in the parable of the pearl a merchant. He's looking for pearls, and he spotted the pearl that is worth buying. And this merchant knows there's nothing like this pearl, and he is prepared to pay the price for it. Today across the globe, as you'll be well aware, there are Christians prepared to pay the price for following Jesus. Some Christians die rather than renounce Christ. We know about that in the Middle East, but it's happening in India and in the Far East as well. And the challenge for us is, what price are we prepared to pay for Jesus? There'll be a few here who are in employment. Would you be prepared to have your career prospects blocked or harmed because you were known as a Christian and have stood up for Christ? In your family or with your next door neighbours, would you be prepared to be snubbed by them, by your family and your friends, because you are known as a follower of Jesus? The merchant knows that buying this pearl is worth every penny. The merchant knows that actually it's worth buying. This pearl is worth buying, and so he sells everything to buy it. Listen to these words of the Apostle Paul. But for whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Do you see what the Apostle Paul says about following Jesus? It's worth giving up anything to follow Jesus. We have a quite unimaginably glorious future if we follow him. And what this world offers in exchange, says Paul, is no better than dung. Or as the children would say, poo. It's no better. It's no exchange at all. Now, if we're prepared to pay the price, people will think that we're mad. There'll be people who, if we're prepared to give everything up for following Jesus, will think that our choice is at best pointless, even stupid, and at worst harmful. And they'll tell us. And they'll mock us. But they're wrong. It's worth it. So here's a woman who's dropped out of the social world of coffee mornings and lunches when she realized what Jesus has done for her on the cross. And now she goes to Bible study. She helps out at church. She cooks for the children's work. And her friends say she's just gone religious. Here's a woman who, when offered a very well-paid weekend job, turned it down because she couldn't make church at all on Sundays. And her friends mock her for lacking common sense. But she knows it's a false economy to value what they value. Well, here's the man who's got a high-flying, lucrative job in the city, and instead he goes to Bible college to train for the ministry in this country. And his friends think, what a shame that he's exchanged for that exchange. Or think of the gifted young person who makes it a priority to be with the church family on Sunday instead of being on the sports field, because they know they're not missing out. And Jesus is saying is that when you discover Jesus is the Messiah, it's worth it to follow him single-mindedly. Even if you're thought to be stupid, even if you're thought to be narrow-minded, even if you're thought to be extreme. But why is it worth? Why is Jesus worth this treasure? Why is he such a treasure? Well, in a word, it is the word eternity. So if verses 44 to 46 explains why those who follow Jesus have solid joys and lasting treasure, verses 47 to 50 give us a second reason why following Jesus is such great treasure. And it is because of the grim reality of death and hell. Because of the grim reality of death and hell. Look at verse 47. Once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on the shore. Then they sat down and collected the good fish in baskets. But threw the bad away. This is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Well, in these verses, Jesus is looking at the future, and he's saying what's going to lie in the future, and that is separation. It is the separation of the righteous from the wicked. Now, we shouldn't be above ourselves and think that we aren't wicked. Actually, for the sins of yesterday, we all deserve to be thrown into hell, like those bad fish. But the reality is that when the net is drawn, if we're trusting in Jesus to be our Saviour, then we will be among the righteous. And those who are not trusting in him will be among the wicked. Now, our culture doesn't talk about death at all. Where people, when they die, they fall off their perch, they go upstairs, they pass on, or they become a star in the sky. But the Bible's emphasis on our lives is very different. We're like a morning mist. We're like the flowers of the field that are blown away. We are a sigh, and we are gone. Psalm 90 says that we need God to teach us to remember, that teach us to number our days, so we'll gain a heart of wisdom. And the Bible also says that after death comes judgment. And with death and the judgment to follow comes the awful reality of hell. Just have a look there at verse 50. And he says, "You'll throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." When in verse 50 Jesus speaks about the fiery furnace, he's referring to a place that we call hell. And weeping and gnashing of teeth, they probably refer to sorrow and, I think, frustration. For in hell there is ongoing defiance of God. Those who are in hell show no repentance, and it's impossible there to change. In other words, there is a fixed destination. And what Jesus is speaking of here is of hell as a frightening reality. What I think is so encouraging here is that Jesus warns us of this. And as you see in the rest of the Gospels, you read that Jesus warns us with tears in his eyes. The reality is that so many people won't listen. Parents, you tell your parents and they don't listen, or you tell children or grandchildren, or siblings. But because of the grim reality of death and hell, there is great value, great treasure, in following Jesus. So those who follow Jesus have solid joys and lasting treasure. Jesus is such great treasure because of the grim reality of death and hell. And the third point is, pass it on, pass it on. Just look at how this little section on parables ends in verses 51 and 52. "Have you understood all these things?" Jesus asked. "Yes," they replied. He said to them, "Therefore, every teacher of the law who has been instructed about the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who brings out of the storeroom new treasures as well as old." He asks whether they've understood, and he's really asking about the response of their hearts to him. And they reply, "Yes, they've understood." And Jesus' answer is, "Then share it. Pass it on. There's great treasure. Make sure that people know about it." You see, these disciples have been instructed by Jesus about the kingdom of heaven. Why? So that they can share the treasure about Jesus with others. And this treasure will shape their lives, it will shape their values, it will shape their goals, their attitudes, their relationships, their behavior. And they are to bring this knowledge of Jesus to others. Now, how much more do we need to be shaped by God's word? How we need to pray for a deeper understanding of the gospel in our lives. See, if we understand, if we're truly gripped by this word, we'll bring it to encourage other Christians. If we're gripped by this word, we'll share this word with our family and friends for their salvation. If we understand that the message about Jesus is treasure, then mission and evangelism will excite us. We'll think that being in partnership, say with Steve and Dawn Orange in Wallaway, there in Belgium, praying for them, raising money for them, for that dark country of Belgium, is really worthwhile. We'll think that being in partnership with Alex Bedford, praying for him and raising money for his work as he engages largely with people on the streets, one-to-one, is really worthwhile. We'll think that being in partnership with Catherine Hindley in her work in the Birmingham City Mission, as she goes into schools and talks to children, mainly Muslims, and praying for her, is worthwhile. And in fact, we'll think that telling Muslims about Jesus is worthwhile, for there's treasure in Jesus. And we'll be thrilled when we hear that people at St. Peter's are opening their Bibles with their friends and reading their Bible with their friends. And they're doing what Jesus commanded his first disciples to do, to pass this message on, to share this treasure. Now, to some extent, we're all involved in this ministry. Now, we shouldn't expect that all of us to be standing, as it were, in the pulpit. But as we follow Jesus, to bring this message to bear in whatever way we can. Is it worth following Jesus? Jesus' answer is yes. To know him is to have treasure. It's to know God personally, to have our sins forgiven, and to know him forever. And if we can say yes, it changes us. As we sit, let's bow our heads and pray. Have you understood all these things? Jesus asked. Yes, they replied. He said to them, therefore, every teacher of the law who has been instructed about the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who brings out of his storeroom new treasures as well as old. Father, we want to thank you for this teaching about the kingdom of heaven. What a privilege it is to know that Jesus is the Messiah when so many people do not. We're sorry that we so often lose sight and forget the value of knowing him. We forget the length that you went to rescue us from a self-obsessed life and an eternity under your anger. And we thank you that the death of Jesus on the cross opens a joyous friendship with you, and that you forgive, assure, and lead us to be like your Son, Jesus. We do ask that you would give us a clearer understanding of who Jesus is. May what he has done shape our lives, and especially that we would speak about him to others when we have the opportunity. And we ask that you would teach and train us. May we be useful servants individually and as a church together. And we ask this for Jesus' sake. Amen.